The captain was just telling me that our voyage is almost at an end, she said. Welcome to the White Book Podcast, the original A Game of Thrones LCG podcast. Originally founded in 2010 as Two Champs and a Chum, we decided to rebrand when the game relaunched in the second edition. A huge thank you goes out to Fantasy Flight Games and George R. R. Martin for this game and world we love, and of course to my co-hosts and you, the listeners. Please, if you enjoy the show, leave us a review on iTunes or your platform of choice, comment on our Facebook threads, or even better, support us on Patreon. We love turning that kind of support back into the community. This is Season 10 of the White Book Podcast. Continuing my trend of really apropos, yet really mundane quotes, which is pretty much what we're down to in the books at this point.
Yeah, I hear there's no content.
None.
Anymore.
Nothing at all. Yeah.
Nothing at all.
Mm-mm. Well, no, I mean,
hundreds of thousands of words.
They've clearly made the only, like, one version or two versions of Robb Stark that can ever be made based on his appearance in the book. They couldn't do a third, right?
No, like, you can do exactly two Robb Starks, and you can do three Robert Baratheons, and that's it. You're done.
Well, I guess that's true. I thought you could just do three of any main character. Once you hit that third one, you're just done.
Aren't there four Arias?
That's how it can't be like Lady Stoneheart or other
there main character. There are four Arias.
There's four Arias. So. Because she's no one.
It's because the reason why there's four is because even Danny forgot about Vox Arya.
Yeah. The card is actively terrible.
Like, it would be decent if it wasn't named Arya in like one deck.
Maybe. That's a stretch, Scotty.
There were decks I would play her in if she wasn't named Arya.
Oh.
I like the past tense there. Were decks that you would play. That card got power creeped from the moment it was released, and that was when there was only like a core set and two pack.
There's zero chance I would play that card like at any point in the game's history.
Okay. Well, I think we're heading down a rabbit hole.
I gotta look up Arya Stark now and actually see
without actually introducing the rabbit hole or ourselves. So,
hi, I'm Arya Stark, and there are four of me.
We should all just be Arya Stark for this week.
There are four of us.
That's true. I'm Arya Stark.
Hi.
So Arya Stark, the terrible one. So the terrible one is very clearly Scott, since he's the only one who would play it. It is a Stark non-loyal, 4/3 intrigue power lady. After a Stark character you control is killed, sack Arya to choose and kill a character with strength 3 or lower.
Okay.
There are decks you might play that in as a 1 or 2 of.
Like...
They're not good right now.
Are you just talking about Lydia's combo?
No, I'm talking about like the decks that want to sack a million Stark things to put other Stark things in the play.
If literally no Stark cards are restricted and this card were named Bubble McBubblebum and it was non-unique, you still wouldn't run a 4/3 that you sack to kill a 3 strength thing. Like, it's
don't
just
be so mean.
It's terrible.
It's a weird
terrible.
Card. Like,
it's a first edition card, isn't it?
It might be, but like,
oh, there was something similar, but not quite the same, I don't think.
But that one didn't see very much play either, right?
No, not when you had the immune to non-plot abilities or whatever it was.
No, immune to opponent's card effects.
Card effects. It? There we go. Yeah.
That one didn't see.
What more did you need?
A lot of play either.
There was also Stealth Arya, right?
Yeah, that was the good one.
Yeah. She went back to Shadows, but it was Winter. And
she went back to Shadows either way. She's the same card as the Greyjoy card that's Shadows, except she costs 1 and had Stealth.
Hagen's daughter.
Yeah, she's Hagen's daughter, except she costs one headstone. And then she did something else.
Well, now you've sent me, into a really interesting mental place where now I want to know, like, now that you've done one of tonight's cast and assigned an Arya to them, now I want to know which one of us is which other Arya.
All right, well, I'm clearly no save Arya.
I think that is very
you
true.
You have to be the original, right? Like, you're core set because you're the core of the cast, which makes weird stealth Arya Roy because he's janky and flashy, but not very good either.
Ooh. Oof. That's so much meaner than we said to Scott. Oh my god. Oh, I'm gonna go get some wine.
Roy Arya Stark is actually better than the Scott Arya Stark. It is out next pack, I guess. It is, we're just reading cards now.
Yeah.
It is loyal 5/3 Tricon Lady Shadow 4 and Stealth. After she enters play, place a prayer token on 5 different characters you don't control. If she leaves play, discard those tokens. Reaction, after a character with a prayer token is killed, stand Arya and draw one card.
She's actually pretty terrible.
I mean, I don't think that's true. I think her reactions are terrible. I think, like, just a 5/3 stealth Tricon is not half bad.
Oh, I agree with that, but, like, her reactions, like, it's never happening.
I mean, look.
Like, let's not pretend.
I mean, look, you can occasionally draw a card with her. Like, it's not like you stick a gold on one of their one-drop weenies, win a military. They go, okay, I guess you get a card and shrug. Yeah. But, like,
yeah, I mean, with 5 of them at once, like, you basically put a token on their entire board when she comes into play. Like, surely you'll get a couple draws out of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think the draw and stand is, you know, I think if it was just draw, the card would be a lot worse. But draw and stand, I don't know.
I can't imagine a world where I play this Arya at all over no save or
yeah.
4.
I think Scott's argument is better for this Arya than it is for the box.
Scott liked the really bad Arya.
The box Arya is interesting. I think if you tested her, it might be surprising. But I haven't tested her because there's other Aryas that are better.
Two whole
maybe
Aryas.
Three.
Well, I mean, there's RE, so there's technically 5 Aryas.
Oh, shit. Roy's got a really good point.
And she even has a gift.
To be fair to Scott, RE is Scott, because Scott loves that card. He has put it in a million different really decks good. That he has built.
I'm with you on that one, Scott.
No, RE, I do RE, like RE. RE is lying, so RE is the host who's not on the cast anymore for lying too much.
Oh, wow. He went there.
Okay, I didn't realize we were going to hit the danger zone that early, but
well, wrap it up.
This episode's been shorter than the things I do for love. I knew I wanted to do a short episode this week while I'm in recovery mode, but I wasn't planning on being that short. So why make that transition then? What's the topic? What are we moving to?
What's the haps?
The FFG announced the end of chapter packs, and after the target box, I believe they said all releases going forward would be very, very, like, what was the word they used?
Here, okay, tell you what, let's go here. I've got the transcription. So what it is gosh, now I forget his exact title. What is he? Something or other design department head or
head of the, isn't he the head
yes,
of the,
yes, studio head. Andrew Navarro did an AMA, an Ask Me Anything, along with, I think friend of the cast, the game, the community, Evan Johnson. and was answering some questions on the FFG live stream. So here is the transcription of what happened. This is starting at minute 18 and 59 seconds. So Evan reading the question that was submitted by Alchemista, one of our game mates. So Evan reading the question. Although the new Targaryen Deluxe box has been announced, there has not been any news about the next cycle that would come after the current one of Game of Thrones card game. Can you share with us what will come for Game of Thrones players after the current cycle? Andrew. Yeah.
Before we go any further.
Yeah.
Alchemista is a Spanish native speaker, and he knows English better than 80% of the second edition. Continue.
All right. So, Andrew. Yeah. So after the current cycle, we'll have a pack planned that I think we will be announcing relatively soon, in a month or two. So I don't want to spoil too much of it, but it's coming out. There's a thing. And what this really does, what it does, is essentially marking the end of cycles for Game of Thrones. But that doesn't mean it's the end of products for Game of Thrones. So when we announce this new thing that will show you, show fans, more what you can expect from the line for the time being. But ultimately, the decision to slow down the pace of releases for that game and chill out on the cycles, I feel like at this point we've really done everything we can really do with that game. You know, it's been, and we take it back to the CCG, it's enjoyed a tremendously long life. I think very few card games have enjoyed the run that Game of Thrones has had. But, you know, I think fans realize we're bound by the literary contribution to the setting. Like, we can't do anything based on the show in the card game, even though obviously we would love to. So I think, then Evan breaks in, by literary, it's like you mean the actual books themselves, so you can't do, like, Robert's Rebellion or anything behind that. Andrew. Exactly. Way back in the day before the show existed, we were more in touch with George on a one-on-one basis, so we could get some special considerations. But it's become such a behemoth that, obviously, that relationship has changed. But, so my hope is, I think everyone's hope is, that there will be another novel. And when there's another novel, we would love to do more content for the game, based on that novel or novels. We love the setting, we love the license, we'd love to do more with it. We still have it for quite a while, so I think Game of Thrones, the card game, there's still more to come, but we'll be cooling it on the cycles. End timestamp, 21:49. There you go.
So, like, Targbox, one more quote-unquote thing, and then maybe they'll get bored and print us something.
Yeah. So I think if we take everything FFG has said seriously, like on its face, we learned actually a lot of questions that we've talked about on this show have been sort of what made clear, which is that their relationship with Martin is not as good as it once was, or is not as intimate as it once was. And so that means that they have a lot less flexibility with what they can print, right? And it's clear that they don't think, since they don't have, so where's the license going in the future? The license is going in no show anymore, so you don't have a general interest in it. And then the new show that is coming out is on material that they don't have access to. So they can't do what they did before and try to, like, piggyback onto the show. Even though they didn't have the show license, they could, you know, piggyback on the success of the show. So there's not really an entry point anymore for new players. And they can't support the hardcores with new material because they don't have access to the World of Ice and Fire. They don't have access to Duncan Egg. They don't have access to the prequel material from, like, Robert's Rebellion. So they don't have any access to any of that stuff. So they are just stuck churning out product based on the five core books. Now, as hardcore Martin fans, like most of us either at one time were or are, we're like, oh, there's a million small things. You could do that sixth Arya. You could do a third Rob. You know, there's tons of named characters who haven't even gotten cards yet. But from an FFG perspective, they have no new entry point for new players. So, and the game doesn't make them enough money for them to want to spend the money to get Martin to expand the material that they're access to. So they are sort of in this semi-self-created trap of no new book, don't have access to any of the show stuff. What are you supposed to do? And the game isn't at a successful point where it's become financially self-sustaining to them.
Well, is it or is it not for sure, like, going that way? I don't know. It's such a bizarrely evasive and yet not evasive sort of answer here, I think. Like, it's weird. It's almost too honest for what I expect from a corporate AMA, but it's also, like, not...
It's not a lie. It's perfectly accurate.
It's... I don't know. I do admit, I can't help but feel that this was a soft kill, not only for our game, but also for Lord of the Rings. It's worth pointing out in some other comments he made with their content.
They're done with LCGs, and that's fine.
They're clearly also not done with LCGs, because Arkham Horror, they're
done with
competitive. Well, but LCGs. Lord of the Rings is not a competitive LCG. I mean,
well, and Marvel, like, is going to be a co-op LCG as well, right, when it starts?
And Arkham is still churning out product. So I think that they're just only going to be doing the quote-unquote new. It's just FFG's moving to a full board game. Like, FFG's always wanted it to be board games where it just ends. Like, the support for the game ends. Because that just makes sense for them. And I just think this is like a confirmation of the model. Will there just be a point where the game, it's not open-ended anymore? Like, these LCGs have a clear stealth
date. Which is so weird.
That could be 5 years.
But. Because that makes me think of the question I almost submitted to the AMA, which effectively would have been, like, what would you say to players and fans of your games that have been burned by what is now a growing perception in the gaming community that FFG, let's see, I never did exactly figure out how to phrase this, so that is why I did not post it. So I'm trying to do that on the fly, but essentially that FFG promises ongoing support for these types of games and promises methods to achieve that, say things like rotation and such, and then, you know, mysteriously the games end before being able to achieve that type of thing. Like, it feels not only to me but to a lot of other people that I've chatted with that their business model revolves around people, yeah, sure, this is something we're behind. Well, and then
that only matters so far as LCGs exist or competitive LCGs exist, right? And, like,
AKA the reason why I assume FFG lies.
But not LCGs, right? Like, they're actually supporting those.
Yeah. So, I mean, competitive games. They've got Destiny, and they've got Keyforge at the moment.
I mean, sure, but the thing we should all have assumed years ago is
I think
FFG
those will be
will
the test to see
as long as it is
how long those games
profitable
go
for them with minimal effort on their part. That's what minimal effort on their part means.
Sure.
And no real marketing.
That's the thing that drives me crazy. I know they can't, like, literally use the HBO stuff. They can't reference it in their marketing materials or anything. But the dearth of advertising for, hey, there's a Game of Thrones card game during the, like, end run of the HBO show is amazing and astounding.
A little late now.
Well, yeah, obviously late now, but I mean, like, if they had kept up an advertising run after the game launched, then, like, there was a lot of general, like, pop culture goodwill that they could have latched onto.
Their business model is as much money with as little effort as possible, and, like, that's just what they're gonna do. Like, that's what they've done for everything for years. We knew that. Like, that can't be news to anyone.
Yeah.
So I think all this is more based around business, because we forget this company's been bought and sold 1.5 million times in the last however many months. And this LCG model has never been particularly profitable. It's not going to make people money like Magic or Hearthstone or something does. And I think that realization has been come to.
Or Keyforge, yeah.
Yeah, I think Keyforge is a whole other thing.
I said when Asmodee took over, the line on the profit margin for what a game was going to need to hit was definitely going to move upward.
Yep, and I think we're seeing that.
We are all stumbling in the dark about this, because it's clear also that the LCG was profitable enough for it to survive as long as it did, right? Because, Will, when did it switch over to from the CCG to the LCG?
Let's see. It made that switch in 07, I believe.
Okay. So it spent, what, 12 years? Well, if the game's surviving to 2020, right, with the extra product. So that's 13 years as an LCG with one reboot 5 years ago. Not so hard of a reboot. It wasn't a core-up redesign of the game. It's the fact that it survived that long says that it is profitable enough. But the question is, it's also clearly not profitable enough that once the machine is going, for them to want to influx additional money, right? Because I think where FFG really is right now with this game is for it to move up its tier of games, they have to put new money into it. Either to expand the license, and to get access to other Martin stuff. Like, they feel like just, doing another Robb Stark is not going to be good enough for them to keep a player base or be profitable. So that means for them to, they have to put more money into it, and they don't want to. Like, they've hit this wall, but they don't want to foreclose their options should at some point, and Glazer, I'm waiting for him to laugh, at some point should Martin produce a novel in 2020, they want to have the game in their arsenal to immediately be like, oh, Martin's released a book, boom. As soon as we can get access to who those characters are, that setting, boom, we're going to produce stuff. They don't want to foreclose anything because that doesn't require any money for them, right? Should Martin produce Winds of Winter, that doesn't cost them any money, right?
So is there...
But it's free advertising.
Is there a reason that we're aware of that they can't just be like, by the way, it's now the same game as Keyforge, except the Thrones characters. Have fun.
Not that I know of, and that is an idea I was going to float, is what would you guys feel if the game had a soft relaunch into a CCG again? The more I think about it, the more I think, I wouldn't necessarily be super excited, but I think I could accept it.
Reboot our game as a CCG, or just reskin Keyforge into Thrones? Because those are two different
things. Oh, no, I wouldn't want to reskin Keyforge.
Whatever the...
Soft reboot our game. Yeah. Not to change mechanics, not a new engine. Just a soft reboot of our game into a CCG.
Whatever. It would require a massive redesign of the game. Because I think one of the things that's actually really interesting, if we want to go into the game design for this, is I actually think on a design level, I'm not necessarily individual power card level, but I think actually FFG finally kind of understands it has the tools in its design toolkit that make a competitive LCG work. Rotation plus this new block planning with a keyword that develops over the course of one cycle, and then that cycle is linked to a second cycle where the keyword takes off and you really push the design space, is a really good position to design a card game from. But the LCG model, because it doesn't have rarity, fundamentally is different in that sense from a game like Magic. And what cards you can push and how you push the cards is so radically different that I don't even think that the current designers know how to design Game of Thrones that way. And it would require like a lot more work than people might think for it to be a good game that you would want to play, particularly one that you would want to play and not spend $5,000 to buy a deck of this obscure card game.
See, I actually don't think that's the issue. I think the issue is the investment thing, as we were mentioning before. They never would want to invest the money that'd be necessary. And by that, I actually mean more personnel. Because the personnel that they would have to invest would have to be significantly different. And that's no offense, despite what people may think, to Danny, Nate, or whatever other type of designer. But think about the type of team that goes into making a game like Magic competitively sound. You need an entire team of designers of much more experience, of higher caliber in that sense. There's a reason why people from FFG who got their chops in making the LCGs for FFG have moved on to work for Wizards, because they make more money because they're considered better designers, or they have more seniority and they've proven that and they've grown that way. So everything's been tested and matured, and that's something we definitely don't have in this LCG sort of environment. When you are adding more and more players to get more and more competitive, then you're going to have more and more decks tested and card rarity, card things broken, then you're going to need more restricted lists faster. You're going to need everything change faster, and it's not, this is not the way it works in Thrones currently. In addition, because of the LCG model, while it hasn't been proven, in theory it could be scalable, but you need to scale even higher, right? So you need to get more casual players. And then you're going to need to spend more money on marketing, and you're going to need to spend more money on having the best quality game, because you're going to need to get more people than the average Magic player will pay, for instance. Which is possible if they're making a smaller investment, but then you have to rely more on casuals, which relies more on marketing and more on a positive experience with competitive support, tournament structure, and etc., which are all things that require capital to invest in the first place, which FFG doesn't historically like to do.
FFG. Well, then I guess maybe.
Or everyone could think I'm entirely up there.
Go ahead, Aaron.
I feel like Thrones players tend to look at Thrones as a failure for FFG, and I don't think it was. Like, I think it was a long-term success, right? Like, games really don't last this long, even with this many reboots. And, like, the ownership change meant that they had a different financial goal with the game. And, like, it just sort of ran its course. Like, they could do something with the IP, but it's never, like, I don't know. It's not really going to be colder. Like, and if they decide to do something, then it just, like, it'll be there, but it won't be Thrones, right? So, I don't know.
You mean if they decide to do a different game? Is that what you meant?
What would you guys think?
I don't see any circumstance where they do anything with this game, except maybe release an occasional pack for us to go, woo, and take words.
What would you guys think if they just took away the Thrones skin and they left the game mod, the game engine?
Why would they do that?
I mean,
so it just wasn't Thrones characters anymore. It was just
fine, but like,
if they didn't want to pay the IP, would you still want to play the game
in the right world and right setting?
Without the Thrones, yes.
I think I probably would. I honestly really enjoy the mechanics. I mean, partly I enjoy how well it marries to this particular world. But with the right other IP, I'd be willing to give it a shot. The catch is, what IP? Because I don't think FFG is going to want to license anything else right now.
I don't think they need to license anything.
From like Marvel.
They made Android.
They did. And admittedly, they're not using Android as much as I would expect. I feel like it's being kind of shuffled away.
I mean, I do want to double back a little bit to Glazer's point. And this, like, it's one of those, like, hard things to wrap your mind around, particularly when you're as invested as we are as players and as people who are listening to the White Book. Like, almost all games come to an end, right? Like, particularly board and card games, right? Like, you can count on probably one hand the number of card games that have survived from the same publisher, much less from the same designer, because Nate has been at least, you know, been on the box for so long, you know, like, you know, 17 years is a long time. Like, you know, Magic is 26 years old, right? Like, it's crazy. Like, Yu-Gi-Oh, Pokemon, like, the fact that Thrones can legitimately be spoken of when it comes to, like, length and period of time that has lasted as long as these is a huge accomplishment of FFGs and a huge accomplishment of this community's. Like, let's be completely honest.
Yeah.
Right? It's a huge accomplishment of this community's. But, like, the bet that this game could continue to survive this long is a losing bet, right? Like, from a company, right? Particularly when you've seen other games that over the course of FFG's lifetime have been more financially successful fall by the wayside.
Like, which ones? Just
it's super it is super impressive. Like Netrunner. Like Netrunner, right? Netrunner was clearly more popular and made more money than a while ago.
Didn't they run into licensing problems with their partner though?
They did, but The impression that I got was they more ran into licensing problems with themselves. Like, they didn't want to spend the money, is what
that's basically what happened with Netrunner. Wizards wanted to increase the price for them to have the Netrunner license, and Asmodee said no.
Max money?
We're just not going to do it anymore.
Min effort.
That's what happened.
Max money, minimum effort. Every time.
What?
So, I mean, I don't think, and to double back to another point Glazer made, like, I don't think that this game, like, all the game dying memes are in some ways true, but they're also not, right? Like, if this community wants to stay together as a community and support this game, we have the tools to do it. We don't have to make the decision about that, like, literally this second, thankfully, because we have at least two more products going ahead. But, like, if we want to keep the game alive, we do have the tools to do it. It's going to not be easy because we don't have a big multi-million dollar company to pay someone to design cards whole time, to, you know, like, until you've actually organized your own event, you really don't know how much work FFG does, even if they're not really doing that much work. Will, you understand what I say when I say that, right? Like,
oh my goodness. Especially after this weekend, I have a very deep appreciation for the level of work that goes into those large scale events.
The thing happened this weekend?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Nothing happened.
You know, as someone who helped put together an unofficial OP structure, like, it's not easy, and doing it with no money is, or minimal money, or only what people are willing to contribute of their own hard-earned cash directly into it, is difficult. Like, it's not going to be easy. It's, you know, like, I feel like we need to in the future be more hopeful but also honest with ourselves about what we want to do with this game and where we want to take our community.
I want it to make me rich. Is that honest?
Yeah, I mean, that is honest. It's a dream.
I'm so happy.
You know, it's a dream that's not going to happen, Glazer.
What if we run these as hash turns?
There you go. I actually don't want this game to appear. I mostly want this game to go like a week without annoying me.
That will definitely solve all of this community's problems if we add money to it tournaments. Yes, we will. It will all the peace, love, and understanding that this community is famous for is going to really be accentuated by adding money. Definitely. Good luck with that, Will.
I've, as far as I know, won the most money ever at Game of Thrones. There was some tournament that had like a $400 win. No, there was some tournament in Connecticut that had like a $400 winning prize. And it was like the toughest field I've ever been in. No, it was money. Second place was store credit. First place was just money.
It was just cash.
Yeah, it was cash. Me and Stroms on the way up, we took a Targ Lion or whatever the first edition equivalent of that was. And we shook on the way there. We were like, one of us is winning this goddamn tournament. And then he scrubbed out and I won. So we split the money. It was like me, Stroms, the Fitches, Tally, if you remember Tally.
I do.
Who's the best of all the Boston players. Kyle, Jane, and then like two local store randos who I felt terrible for because we descended on them with our like T1 decks and they got absolutely destroyed. But yeah, like it was this probably the single toughest tournament where like every game I was like, are you serious? I have to play you now? AJ's playing CT with Hope in Hands. I'm watching that. Continue.
Yeah, man, I'm not sure where to go after that at the moment.
So I think it's for debate whether this was a failure or not, but it also is for debate whether it reached its full potential too, I think.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that, Roy?
That's going to be very much in the eye of the beholder. But, I mean, the tragedy is in the game. Like, I do think that the game is moving forward in ways that are really interesting. And yeah, second edition hasn't explored all the design space it can explore. Right? Which, like,
oh, definitely not.
You know, we only got one original keyword, right?
Just one. Bestow,
let's be honest,
with a game the depth of Game of Thrones, like when you look at something like Magic the Gathering and you look at all of the keywords and mechanics they've done, yes, some of those are retreads of others or very kind of close cousins and such, but there's only so many kind of fiddly bits, so many vectors for them to modify with keywords in Magic. And Game of Thrones is a much deeper game from that perspective of like different toggles and levers and such that could be adjusted with keywords. And the fact that we got, I mean, one new keyword and one reprint, admittedly my favorite keyword, is kind of criminal. There is so much design space, so much that is out there that we haven't come anywhere near.
Yeah, it's fine. I don't really believe in potential. Like, things are or they aren't. Things, you either put effort and you get what you get, or you don't. You don't. Like, people, companies, whatever, are true to their nature. And this was, the game was true to its nature until the end.
That was a remarkable statement from Aaron.
Sorry-ish?
It was a statement.
I feel like this is one of those things where it's always going to be in the eye of the beholder. There's some people who felt like the game never did the right thing in second edition. There are some people who think that the game went sideways with the third cycle. There's going to be some people who think that, you know, the third through the pre-Shadows game was the best game. Like, we're just never good. And, you know, I don't think we'll ever really fully come on consensus about that.
I mean,
yeah.
So I think we've said all. I think we all have our opinions, and I don't think anyone's really changing anyone's opinions here. But I don't think they're starkly different either.
Just want that clear.
Yes. Again, proving what my point. Thank you, Glazer.
Anytime. I'm a giver.
Yeah. I mean, for what it's worth.
Wow, this is the most boring game in the world.
Game of Thrones?
Oh, sorry. All right. Okay. Yeah. Props and slops?
Well, wait. Before we hit props and slops, I do at least want to throw one thing out there and just say, to some extent, there's some doom and gloom here. But I can speak for at least myself. I don't know how many of my co-hosts this week or next week I can say this for, but for myself, I intend to ride this out. Whether the game ends or the FFG has something up its sleeve that was very poorly expressed in the AMA, and it is not ending or whatever, my intention is to be around to turn the lights off, as I've always said. So, the white book will be here in one form or another.
Hey, does Ride This Out include any player committee shenanigans, or is Ride This Out just as long as FFG is
It is definitely as long as FFG is supporting the game. I say now, if it's like 10 more years, I may revisit that. Player committee, I've mulled that over. At that point, I may back off or slow down. Maybe we'll look at going to like monthly episodes or something. But theoretically, I would like to keep going.
I mean, at monthly, we're going to have to go a really long time to hit 1,000.
That's true. You know, I
don't care who
it is. I have not looked recently, like within the last week or so, but off the top of my head, over the last 6 months, we're still getting around 5,000 listens a month.
That's great.
Yeah. Like our numbers have been pretty really steady good. For the last like 2 years, really.
I think that
go to the Patreon.
Yeah. Patreon. I think when it comes to this, the game. What you know? The funniest thing is Aaron Glazer, who has said that the game has been dying since second edition was launched.
I did not.
Yeah, that.
I said it was terrible when second edition was launched. I didn't say it was dying. There's a big difference between those two statements.
But the game may officially be in many ways dying now, but it's not dead. We have until February at Worlds, at the bare minimum, and I think that people should just be sort of focused on enjoying the game until then. Like we've gained some clarity. Which is really, I do actually really appreciate FFG's honesty about that. You know, I think it was actually really unfair how long it took them to sort of like update us about the future of the game when it became clear that sort of news was drying up. But we still have what? October, November, December, January, February, five to six more months of this game, bare minimum. To enjoy, and I think that's what we should be focused on right now, and not so much, you know, the 2021, 2022. We need to sort of enjoy what we have and what we've built over that period of time, and then when we do reach, if February really is the, you know, with Worlds, the end of official FFG support for the game, then, you know, people will make a decision about whether a prospective players committee is something they want to start, or, you know, they want to move on to the next stage, but we do have 5 to 6 more months, bare minimum, of this game that we've all come to love, that we're willing to be on a podcast or listen to a podcast about.
It's just the bare necessities.
Great. Now you've got me thinking Disney songs.
Yeah. Can we get to props and slops so I can talk about Disney Plus?
Let's props and slops.
Props to Disney Plus. That looks amazing. My kid keeps asking me to watch Moana, and like we're just watching clips on YouTube because I'm not buying a Disney movie ever again.
Yeah, I have to agree. Disney Plus looks amazing.
You're just waiting for Disney Plus?
Yeah.
Is it not on Netflix right now?
He's three. He's easily distracted. It is not. The Netflix takes everything off relatively quickly.
Okay. Well, as far as Disney Plus goes, I do have to say I'm pumped. Not only for all the MCU stuff on there that looks pretty exciting, but man, the trailer for The Mandalorian looked good. I am one of those people that was kind of burnt out on Star Wars by The Force Awakens, or not The Force Awakens, sorry, Last Jedi. Not to go down that road, but watching The Mandalorian trailer did have me very
good decision.
Yeah, it seemed fine.
Seemed fine. Could be good.
It could be good. It's not going to be... The real reason to subscribe is the Winter Soldier and the Falcon. Like, that's the real reason.
I mean, all of the Marvel stuff. I want Ms. Yeah. Marvel.
All of it, except yeah, but that's maybe a while from it. WandaVision. I'm still very confused. WandaVision's
no.
Did you read Vision?
Yeah. The Tom King run?
Yeah, it's supposed to be based on that.
But I feel like it's going to be sort of the impression that you get from the marketing material for that is it's going to be the Vision miniseries, except the Vision miniseries should be called Wanda. If you understand what I mean.
Okay.
Yes.
Like it seems like Wanda is the one who's going to go through a similar emotional journey to what the Vision went through in that series versus the Vision, because the Vision is currently dead.
Okay. Gotcha. All right, that makes more sense.
I'm sorry. Spoilers for Infinity War, yeah, which was 2 years ago. Sorry. I know how important it is to you, Scott.
I didn't know that, though, Roy. Thanks.
I know how important it is to you.
Why can't I remember the name of that stupid goddamn
thing? I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Disney Plus looks perfectly... It looks exactly like what I expected it to be, which means I will spend the money to get it. Like, there's been nothing that, like, blows my mind kind of thing. I mean, they blew my mind when they announced the Marvel TV shows, but everything since then, it hasn't been like, oh, man, this is so much better than it could possibly be. It'd be like, no, this is about what I expected once you did the initial announcement. Oh, yeah. But no, there's...
At least as far as the price point goes, like, it's... very easy to justify.
There is something to slop about this. I'm wrong. Weekly releases, like traditional television, instead of binging.
Oh, I actually like that.
I dislike it strongly.
Yeah. No, I... Oh, see, I like it.
I don't.
What? Why do you like it, Aaron? I'll let you go first.
I have to go to work and talk to people.
Yeah.
That's basically my logic. There's a lot of people I work with that I don't have a ton in common with, right? Like, but if we, like, and then we sometimes we binge something and talk about it, and like, but it's that's a day. And if it's weekly, then we have things to talk about. And like, it's not super ideal, but that's part of life.
I think it builds fandoms better now that I've had more time of the kind of binging lifestyle. I realize, you know, it's great and fun for me, but even the friends I have that watch the same show or whatever, like, I haven't sat around and had some, you know, conversation discussing the intricacies of the OA with somebody else as much as I loved it, because, you know, maybe I watched it 3 months late, and or maybe they watched it all in one weekend, or maybe they're two episodes in and I'm 10 or whatever, like, you don't have the common reference the same way. I mean, that weekly plot.
I mean, even more, like, everyone would just hate the end, and then, like, it would just go down as a terrible series, right? Because it would be at the end so quickly.
Yeah, think about if Thrones, the TV show, wasn't weekly, but it would have done to, like, the common Discord of people talking about it.
Yeah, people would have just, like, pounded that in a weekend or whatever, and then, like, viewer numbers would have dropped off. Everything. So, all right. Speaking of streaming shows and binging things, there is one I would like to prop that I've been binging. Kristen and I started in on Carnival Row yesterday, and despite a few small logic gaps and a few scenes a little more wooden than I would like. I am a sucker for kind of steampunk-ish sort of worlds, and I think the setting is pretty fascinating, and it's a gorgeous show. So I'm really enjoying it so far.
Yeah, I want to slap the boys.
Really?
Because it was the boys. It was just very, very what I thought it was going to be.
Very Garth Ennis. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Just so,
permanent. He's on the permanent slop list for me, along with Mark Millar.
I mean, I really used to like. I never liked Millar, really. Like, I didn't hate Millar, but I never liked Millar. I never got the fandom. I used to really like Ennis, and I just can't. It's the same tropes over and over again. It's just
same
hyper masculinity, and it's just a lot. It's just a lot. A lot of people recommended
it. Did not watch The Boys.
Like, five people recommended it to me, and like one of my best friends was like, you should not watch this. This is not going to be for you. But like her husband was like, yes, and like five other people. I was like, you know what? It's 8 episodes and I've got a week before school starts. I should be able to knock this out. And me and Carla watched it. And we were both just kind of were like, okay, that was a show.
Yeah.
Much regret.
Yep.
Also, slap Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which I did not enjoy in the slightest.
Ooh, I've been torn. I keep hearing a lot of actually really good reviews from people, but I'm probably in the minority of people that actually just kind of hates Tarantino and his films. So I don't know that I'll watch it.
Well,
yeah. I don't really hate him as a person.
I hate him too.
I hate his
style. I don't hate him as a person, but his films, I'm not a fan.
My enjoyment of Tarantino is directly proportional to how interesting the plot is, and this movie doesn't so much bother with a plot, so like I don't know, I don't need to watch Handsome Men meander for 2 hours, 2.5 hours. It was really long, like I loved Inglourious Basterds. I thought it was actually excellent. Like, this did nothing. We're definitely getting some nasty comments about that, but what are you going to do?
No, we won't, Aaron. We don't get comments on the show anymore. It's fine.
Oh, we don't?
Someone out there is listening, as evidenced by download numbers, but they're not talking back to us like they used to. What I wouldn't give for some more of those five-star reviews where they say how much they hate us.
Hey guys,
I've never actually looked at our reviews
on iTunes or your other favorite.
I should do that.
I was talking about that with Team Westeros a couple of weeks back. It's bizarre. There's like two or three where they just rant about the bad, but they gave us 5 stars. So I don't know.
now I have to boot up iTunes and take a look.
Yeah, I mean, and keep in mind they're like 3-year-old reviews because one's said anything
on the show
recently.
3 years ago.
But Yeah, I think you were.
I really don't remember at this point. I just feel like I've always been on the white book.
I mean, kind of, sort of, a little bit. Did I just grab? God damn it. I'm an idiot.
I think my first appearance on the show, was it still called 2C1C? No, right? Mm-hmm. When did you officially switch over?
Yeah. We switched over maybe July or so, right before Second Ed launched at Gen Con? Maybe June. So what year would that have been?
No, because my first appearance was in the review of the Martell cards from the core set. I'll never forget that.
Well, then we had changed the name, because I changed the name when we started doing the review, I thought, right?
Yeah.
But didn't we start reviewing before they released the box?
I think so.
It's been too long now.
I have no idea. That I don't. I know it was the whole Martell. I don't think the box was widely available when we started reviewing.
Okay. Oh, man. I could just be looking all this stuff up by digging back through the archives on the website, but I'm way too lazy to do that while we're actually recording. Somewhere out there.
It's all in the annals.
It's all in the white book. history.
Well, we do have a 4.8 review.
Our star rating or whatever. That's pretty darn solid, I think.
Yeah. All right. Going down the rabbit hole. One might even call reading this the danger zone.
Jeez.
Oh, it would. And listeners, you know what would really help us close the chapter of the white book? If you would go give us some new ratings.
Going to patreon.com/thewhitebook.
Thanks, Scott.